Everybody loves Max. And Max loves to learn, to teach, and talk about sales. Staying on top of the sales game is tough, especially when the techniques and the tools have become ineffective. Max just doesn't give up on the learning side and has a wealth of knowledge about resources, processes, stacks, all the current software systems and tools that you can use that are on the cutting edge of our craft. He's a public speaker, and he's also an author of Hacking Sales, the Playbook for Building a High-Velocity Sales Machine. Max is also the founder of Sales Hacker, and that's a website that you can check out. Again, I'll put it in the show notes. It's really worth checking out. There are blog posts and guest blog posts from pretty much all of the industry experts, so you can learn a lot if you're just getting started, or if you wanted to continue your education, that's a good place to start. In this podcast, Max reveals why it's necessary to continue learning the craft, how to maximize the sales tech you use, and his concept of sales stacking and other intense tips. He's a great resource. You'll really enjoy this podcast, and we're thrilled to have Max on the show.
So we're here with Max, and Max is actually now living in New York City, right? Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what brought you to New York?
Good to be back. Let's see. I'm from here originally. My family's from here. My nephews are here. They're getting to be those fun ages where they can actually do things with you. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. You know, I want to go to their basketball games, just like, you know, when I was younger and I played hockey. You know, loved having family at my games, and I got a very good relationship with my nephews and my sister. So, excited to be back and be around them and be around my family. And then the other thing is, moved out to San Francisco for kind of career purposes, and I think I've gotten pretty far, established a network. And mm-hmm. can maintain that network, keep growing that network in San Francisco. But San Francisco is just one industry, and really, like, mainly startups and growth stage companies. And I think for our business, we really want to push going upstream a little bit more to some bigger companies. So I think being back in New York will help with that effort as well.
So tell our audience, you know, when you were in San Francisco, what the main function was. And a lot of people know that about Sales Hacker, but tell us more about what motivated you to get that up and running, and you know, where you see still a big gap in our knowledge of sales process, and how are you working towards helping people, you know, work through those gaps?
Yeah, so, you know, on the surface, realistically, there's, I think, 16.5 million people with sales in their title on LinkedIn, and maybe about 5 million with marketing in their title. Yet you can get a full degree in marketing, but you can't take one single college course in sales. And so there's already, you know, a problem with the education that these people are getting. Pile on top of that, you know, none of these orgs, as they grow, want to take one step backwards to take two steps forwards, because they can't miss their number or even jeopardize any kind of slow growth. So they're not really training their reps properly. They're not really learning new things. And there's no way to kind of do that on the fly. And so, you know, this is something that we were doing at Udemy. We were building a sales process from scratch, trying to figure it out on our own. And I always wished there was some kind of formal education. And, you know, all I had was, you know, books like, you know, Predictable Revenue, and now there's a lot more books that are out there that'll help you, like Trish's book and Mark's book and my book, but Trish Bertuzzi, Mark Robert, me. But back then there wasn't a lot. You know, there was maybe The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes, The Challenger Sale, but, you know, you're kind of going at it on your own or with books. And so we wanted to basically bring the community together and say, well, what if you can tap into, you know, Bill Binch, the SVP of sales from Marketo, who took them from zero to IPO. You know, what if you could tap in his brain for a little bit, mm-hmm. give a presentation on how they built out their process? And so, you know, we wanted to get the community together, whether it's, you know, hearing from a VP of sales at, like, the largest, you know, company in the world, or a practitioner like a SDR turned director at a super fast growth company, I think you'd get a ton of value out of it no matter what your role was, whether you were a founder starting from scratch or a VP of sales at, you know, an post-IPO company. Sales has changed more than ever before, I think, in the last 2-3 years due to the advancements in technology, the accessibility, and really cheap data and information available to salespeople and to the buyer is obviously, you know, everywhere. So sales is really going through this transformation, and we'd like to be the ones not only to help train people and get them up to speed, but evolve it.
Okay. And so are you focusing then on the entire sales pipeline from cold connection all the way to close one?
Yeah. And honestly, I think customer success is a role of that also. So, you know, even after close one, you're looking at upsell, resell, cross sell. I mean, that's sales. Lifetime.
Lifetime value.
Value, you know, revenue. You know, lifetime revenue per customer. I'm forgetting the acronym, drawing a blank right now. So it's been a short day. I have no excuse. But you want to target revenue per account, and you want to get that up as high as possible. And that's a sales function. Like those customer success reps are selling. They're playing the same game. So I think you're looking at our main, you know, core areas being sales development and, you know, the closing role, so account executives, the customer success function, and even the ops and enablement function, which has become so important in recent years that wasn't really there before. Again, with the advancements in technology, there's no that kind of like Salesforce or CRM admin is now more of an operations person that needs to not only do, you know, the financial operations part, which is CPQ, like, you know, sending the proposals out, make sure the, you know, payments are done, accounts receivables, whatnot, but also build the sales stack on top of, you know, on top of their CRM, into that system, into that process, and make sure that's humming and make sure that's efficient and optimizing that as they go, testing and measuring and looking at the numbers and helping the, you know, the VP with forecasting. So that's the sales operations role. And the sales enablement role, which used to be somewhat of a product marketing role, but now supplies sales with all the collateral and information they need to do the best job that they can. So, you know, I guess that's five different roles. I kind of bucket enablement and operations together into four. But yeah, we're there to support everyone on all those levels and all titles.
And is it certain company sizes, or is it if I'm starting my career in sales and I'm not really sure how and where to begin at that level, and then I'm to the level of I'm a seasoned sales professional, I'm in a larger company, but I want to be more efficient and more effective in the way that I do my sales. All those folks.
So if you look at it, because of what's happened over the past 2-3 years in sales, with the advancements in technology that I was talking about before and the data and the information, if you're a VP of sales at, you know, let's say SAP or GE or something like that, you've been in sales for 15, 20 years. There are processes that you're doing that are still valuable and valid processes, but there's technology that's out there right now that's been created in the past 2-3 years that can help those processes become maybe 10 times more efficient. Imagine if you can get 15% even, or 5%, or even 1% of your sales rep's time back just by implementing some cheap piece of technology, or relatively cheap piece of technology, that automates these like mundane tasks that they do, data entry or whatever it is. 1% of your sales rep's time, could that lead to 1% more revenue? If you're, again, if you're that VP of sales at SAP or GE, what is that on the bottom line? If every VP at that company implemented that one piece of, you know, that one solution, that one piece of software. So, you know, we're there for the guy who thinks he knows everything, but, you know, hey, you don't know everything because things are changing. And we're there for the, you know, the founder of a 2-person startup that built a really awesome piece of software but has no idea how to sell it. And he's, you know, he's a technical guy. You know, maybe it came from whatever, MIT or Harvard or something like that, built this awesome product, but, you know, doesn't know what to do next. Or you're the first sales hire at one of these companies. and you're trying to figure it out from scratch. So it doesn't matter what your experience level is, I think there's always something for you.
I think a lot of what I've learned over the last few years after the release of Predictable Revenue was the focus on sales process, and then sitting on top of sales process are sales skills. And now you're adding a sales stack, which some people might not know that term, but it's taking these different apps and software systems that are available now and combining them into like a recipe almost.
Well, they sit on, so everybody's got a CRM. You know, you got to track your customers, somehow, the conversations you're having. So you can, consider that your kind of like middle of the spoked wheel of your stack.
Okay.
And then, you have all these other processes that go on top of that, so like lead generation or data enrichment, finding new contact information, email tracking, phone, support, all those different types of things are all part of your sales stack. There's predictive software out there now. There's account-based intelligence software out there. There's contextual software, so it tells you how to interact with your lead, what content they're going to find relevant. All those different things comprise of your sales stack. So if you go through the entire sales process and you're like, okay, I need to go figure out who's my ideal customer profile, well, there's tools out there now that'll help you. Okay, here's what your product does. Here's the industries that you're looking for. Here's the titles that you're looking for. Here's the contact information. You contact that person. Here's a technology that helps you track when you contact that person, how you contact that person, helps you optimize how you contact that person, and how you should contact other people. There's a company called Crystal Knows that even tells you how that person likes to interact with other people. You download a browser extension, and in your inbox, when you go type in somebody's email address, it'll tell you, this person is outgoing, they like the New England Patriots, and they're interested in macrame. I don't know, but now you have some things to talk about.
Right.
So there's all sorts of things out there that make your job easier. Small pieces of technology, some are free, some are really cheap, that can help you infinitely, and those are all part of your sales stack.
Okay. So if I were starting out then and didn't have a sales stack, maybe I have a CRM, and maybe I have access to a marketing automation system of some sort that'll help automate or some of the emails or nurture sequences that I have. What's, besides those two pieces of what I would consider core, what's the very next piece that you would recommend for people to get?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on the business. So,
okay.
Are you building your business from scratch, or if you already have a business and you're trying to, make it better, either way, you're going to want to figure out, what your sweet spot is. So, who your ideal customer profile is, and how they like to interact with people. So, whether it's phone or email or, a similar, way. So, there's a lot of different companies right now that'll help you go out and find your ideal customer profile. You could use like LinkedIn Sales Navigator. There's Mattermark. There's DataFox. There's GrowBots. There's a couple of different companies. Lead Genius that will help you find exactly who you should be targeting and where your low-hanging fruit is. There's a company called Node that's coming out that does something in that area, account-based sales, account-based intelligence. And then the next step would be to figure out how those people like to interact. So you have email and you have phone. Some of these clients actually do both with like power dialers and optimizing emails and tracking emails. So you have inside sales and sales loft outreach, TowDep, Yesware, those companies in there. And then I'd say those are probably your most important things. One, getting contact, the right contact information. And two, making sure when you contact them, it's fully optimized.
Wow. You know, it's funny because I have a client that is coming out. They did a lot of work in IT advisory. They're a very large company, mm-hmm. and they're coming out with a marketing product similar to the IT world that has all of the tools that marketers could possibly use. And they've built this gigantic transit map so that if you're entering from different points in the marketing funnel, there are all these tools that are set up that you can then click on the tool and it'll give you a, you know, information about the tool, pricing range, mm-hmm. and then who to contact. Are you developing something similar, Max?
A roadmap? Yeah. I mean, not really.
No.
You know, it's probably something we can tackle in the next year, which would be a pretty cool, like, infographic. I'd say it varies so much, and you know, one of the key things in sales is that you know, we can sit here and give you all the education in the world, but there's never going to be a silver bullet. You know, mm-hmm. one guy's business is different from another woman's business. It's all different. You know, you can be even a very similar product and still have a very different sales model. Mm-hmm. And both can be right. So I don't know if there's like any kind of roadmap. There's obviously like a path that's been proven, mm-hmm. that you can build out and say like, hey, if you follow this or loosely follow this, you should be going in a good direction. Mm-hmm. Again, like the original predictable revenue book, you know, pretty much no matter what your business was, if you were hunting, if you were doing outbound, that was a relevant book. And I say relevant, not like follow this to a T and you'll be successful, but like build your process off this and you should be able to figure your process out. Here's a framework to work off of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote my book in a similar fashion with a lot of different technologies included, basically saying like, here's the framework for how to get there, the concepts and some, you know, tactical advice. Mm-hmm. And some technologies you can use, but you got to piece it together yourself because nobody knows your business like you. And again, there's no silver bullet.
There is no silver bullet, but I think, as you mentioned, there are frameworks, systems, maps, at least a general way to get from point A to point B. But it all comes down to understanding who your buyers are, understanding which accounts and clients are going to bring you the highest revenue potential with the highest likelihood of closing. And then also understanding how they buy and whether or not you can help push them along and pull them through the pipeline. Or like I heard you say you read Chet Holmes' book. I mean, he had a lot of statistical information in his book that actually still somewhat applies today for the outreach for outbound, mm-hmm. that I still use his waterfall as a baseline starting point. But another thing you pointed out is you have to test and you have to continually iterate because there is no perfect plan. So you have to be of that mindset that you're going to continually tweak until you get to a point where you have some consistency in whatever channels you end up going after.
Yep.
Very cool. So how do people keep up with you, Max? You're all over the place. What's the best way for us to follow you?
Yeah, Twitter. I'm on Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. My book comes out, let's see, May 31st, I think it's released as the second edition of the book.
Okay. And when the book's name?
Check that out. Hacking Sales.
Hacking Sales.
Hacking Sales.
And what's your Twitter handle?
Twitter is Max Alts, MaxAlts.
Okay.
LinkedIn/ Max Altshuler. And then we have our conference on June 15th that we're doing with Salesforce, conjunction with Salesforce, called Sales Machine, where we have Gary Vaynerchuk, Ariana Huffington, Frederick Eklund from Million Dollar Listing, Billy Bean from Moneyball, Seth Godin and Simon Sinek speaking, along with, I think, 20 or so different practitioners in sales operations and enablement, customer success, sales development, and, you know, sales leadership. So that'll be fun. It's in New York, June 15th and 16th.
Okay, so that is coming up. So this will actually air before that comes up.
Great.
So we'll make sure that people know where to
go.
I'll
give you a special, special code for it so everybody gets a nice discount.
Yeah, that would be great. Sounds like a great show for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Well, thank you, Max, for your time. I really appreciate it. There's a lot of good learning right now at saleshacker.com. I think I've read over 300 of the blog posts that are out there. So
nice.
Good materials out there, people. Make sure you're starting to learn. As you may have gathered from this show, it's all about continuing your learning process, trying things out. Some may work, some may not, but tracking where you've been so that you can continually refine and make that pipeline of yours consistent so you can scale it if you want. Thanks again, Max. Really appreciate your time.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.